Welcome to the show that rocks this scene, where flavors clash and dreams convene. It's the Q&U podcast, strapping tight, rolling through the 956 tonight. Local talent in the spotlight's glare, artist business tales laid bare. The beat of the streets, the city pulse, we chew the stories, the good and the repulse. Guitar strung to the rhythm of our talks, bolder voices echoing down the South Texan walks. We dine on drama with a side of flair, everything served up raw, so be aware. From painters to poets, they all come here, sharing their passion, conquering their fear. Business moguls with dreams so vast, step up to the mic, share their tales from the past. So tune in, rock out to the Q&U show, where the tales are real and the faces glow. Heartbeats, heart chats in the 956 flow, where the stage, the light come basking our glow.
Whoa, wait, what's going on, man? Oh, I got one guy up here. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to be out here. Hold on, man. You go back into hiding, all right? You wait your turn. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast.
The hell was that?
I don't know. I don't know who the hell was that, man. That's just somebody just popped in, bro.
Yeah, someone just popped in.
I think we got hacked.
You wait your turn, Satan.
But anyways, guys, welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast, episode 254.
Yes.
Slowly climbing the ladder. A lot of stuff happening this week. Madness left and right. The three death strike game in the month of July, like they've always have.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later on in the show, but today we got trouble. We got trouble today.
Times three.
Yeah, we got trouble today. So today's guests, I'm gonna let them introduce themselves because I'm not about to make a mistake and get my ass kicked right on live Facebook Live.
Oh, come on, dude. We need the ratings. Come on.
Well, I mean, they can kick your ass after the ratings, but guys, let me go ahead and pop up the big screen here and bring back that special guest that we had right now that was wrongfully taken out. Let's start right here. Your name?
JC Valentine.
Right here?
James Blackheart.
And the gentleman right here on via satellite, the way he said. Go ahead, man.
David Money.
And the name of this stable is?
Parabellum.
Parabellum. Man, that's kind of, it kind of scares me a little bit. That's kind of like, you know, like, was that a Ric Flair, Triple H?
Evolution.
Kind of scares me a little bit, you know, because got to be one that's got to be the cheater. There's one that's the arrogant one, and then you got the young pup. So who's the young pup? Oh, the satellite one.
Oh, damn.
Just the biggest one.
I'm 10 years younger than these guys, you know.
Oh, hey, that's a lot. You are a young pup, dude.
That's why he's a powerhouse of the group. That's why he's
yes,
a powerhouse.
Yes, you are. You're the youngest. Yes, you are.
You're the little guy. Just don't do that, man, because he knows what exactly the studio is, and he will come looking for you.
He's not here. I'm fine.
Hey, David drives really fast.
I didn't mean it. I swear to God. I only got one leg.
Anyways, guys, thank you for coming to the podcast, guys.
I know
we've had a couple of wrestlers in the past. I know we have James on the podcast quite a few times.
Yep.
That was excellent interviews. I think this will be number four. Four times
four,
already?
Yeah,
number
yeah,
four. Four. Oh, four horsemen. Four horsemen.
The number four.
For number four. Today's number is, PBS is gone. We have the fourth time on here, and we got the gentleman right next to JC, right?
Yes, sir.
And we got, what name again?
David Money.
We got you guys on here, so Jace, we already know who you are. So let's start with JC. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got into wrestling, man.
Go ahead. I'm from Edinburgh, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've been on and off in wrestling for 15 years now.
Okay.
I started in 2010 for Salinas Promotions under a masked wrestler.
Really?
Tiger King. Era,
Shoot. Okay.
Growing up, high school and everything, I was a huge fan of Japanese wrestling and Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask. And
right.
It was something very last minute, pero Salinas told me, hey man, pues I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And our mask makers in Reynosa, La Familia Dimas, which is responsible for a lot of professional gear.
Right.
De Boleta, they drew me something out. They had the crown, el antifaz, and that was Tiger King. I did that character for like a year and a half. And then we started, you guys remember Wrestling Revolution?
Yes.
Originals, James Dante, Cherry Popper, Danny Ramone,
right.
Joe Van Vermin, mm-hmm. Shooter, all those guys. They brought me in, and I started with them in 2011. Actually, like in June, actually of 2011, around there, okay. That's when we started doing the Cine El Rey shows. And okay. It was every single Thursday for like... close to 2 years, and then we started doing it on Fridays también. Mm-hmm. And then, pues, I would do it on and off. I suffered a lot from mental health.
Okay.
So I would just disappear.
Right.
Dude, is he alive? Dude, is he okay? So I guess it was the right thing for me to do. Por eso siempre digo que on and off.
Yeah.
But I was always there. I never left. I never told anybody that I retired. On the contrary, era bien, I was a very supportive of my close friends. Mm-hmm. So I was always there.
I got somebody already comment. Mari Aguilar, I believe, uh-huh. Says, oh, it's the Three Stooges. Oh my God, here we go. And it starts. It starts already. It's going to start already.
Nice.
So you got into the wrestling. What year was this that you started?
This was in 2010.
2010.
Yes.
Okay.
Con Salinas.
Okay.
For Lucha Libre.
So you got quite a bit of already... You've been on the mat for quite a while.
That's the thing. A lot of the I wanted to address is I was never professionally trained.
Oh shoot!
No, it was just kind of like I'm not gonna mention any names. Mm-hmm. It was two of the luchadors, intoxicated, coked out. They were just
those are the best ones.
No, that's the way I was taught.
Right.
You got chops. I never understood the taking liberties and chops I don't know, pero ahí andaba, and I loved it. Ahí andaba, and
the man loves pain.
So you're pretty much saying you coming into the in the rings or into the ropes of wrestling, you were basically placed in Little Japan, Little Japan outlet out there.
Just run the ropes and taking liberties. I remember one of the guys at the Alamo Flea Market when we were gonna have a show. He broke a bottle.
Oh shit!
And he had cut me here, and I remember just being like, no, don't do it. And he's like, stop being a
Right.
And he did it. He covered my mouth, and then he gave me the little
the little clip,
and started bleeding. And I'm like, I'm gonna do that. I don't know if this is what I want to do.
Right.
And it wasn't the best experience until I kind of left Salinas.
Right.
First of all, I wasn't even getting paid.
Oh.
I was not getting paid. I was getting punished. I would carry bags,
mm-hmm.
paid my dues. A lot of legends. I love that. Casandro el Exótico, Mil Máscaras, El Hijo del Santo. Who always had an excuse. Me asaltaron. We already knew. But that to me was always a privilege.
Right.
Y luego I would wrestle. I would go get dressed immediately, and Salinas needed either to work security or go and sell masks. And sometimes I'd get like, I'm going to say it, but it was like 10, 15 bucks. And it was just part of, I see, break down the ring and help the wrestlers get their bags back to it. So that was an experience for me. But I know that I always wanted more. I was capable of more.
Right.
And it wasn't until my best friend now, my brother, Alvaro Riojas, who at the time worked as Bandana Joe.
Yeah.
We were like, dude, pues, let's do something. Then just think about it. Wrestling Revolution.
Right.
One day I just decided, I just removed my mask, and it was the JC Valentine.
Oh, okay.
And if you all want to know, and not a lot of the boys know, Danny Chance's brother, Ray Knight, was the one who came up with the name. I remember we were having a cigarette, at the time he smoked, and he's like, why do you do? Why, we're trying to come up with a name because the show's like in 2 days, and dude, the names were. What was it? Jesse Attitude and JC. Like, these names are so stupid. And then, Naka. I was like, dude, I don't know, man. This is so dumb. And then he's like, dude, how about JC Valentine? I was like, boom. Vermin loved it. I love, boom. Right, we ran with it, and that's where the JC Valentine
started. That's awesome, man. Seeing that's awesome.
And Pesola, but.
Yeah, I got Eddie Garza saying, never formally trained, but still one of the best. On the mat. There you go.
Let me tell you right now, because, and I tell this to everybody, and this is why I wanted JC part of the faction. Mm. Never formally trained, right? But throw that out the window, because he is, when it comes to technical wrestling, at least in the top 10 for all of Texas. Just to go in there and train and wrestle and just get to work.
Right.
That's the man right there.
There you go.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
And thanks to, Danny Ramones teaching us the right way. Thank you, Eric Shadows, for protecting the business.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alvaro Riojas, for just teaching us. But we were never professionally trained.
Right.
We actually just left the show. When was it, Steve? TSW. Mm-hmm. Being surrounded in a locker room.
Like two weeks ago.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Former NWA World's Champion, Tim Storm, just pulling us aside, and you guys did great.
Oh, wow.
Work on this, James Beard, and who trained you? They're, and Izzy James, and I was telling Tim Storm, I was like, guys, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. My trainer and I, we were never professionally trained. We just did it as, you know, on the flight. But trainer, my mentor, Danny Ramones, and I remember their eyes just like, dude, Danny's like, cool. They ended up choosing, if I'm not mistaken, I guess 5 guys out of 60.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackheart and I got chosen to work the televised show for the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember David Money hadn't gotten chosen, but we had they had a good talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that they were testing us to see how professional we handled you know, being chosen, not being chosen, being excluded. A lot of the guys packed their bags and they took off. And these guys were Mr. Rodney Mack, and they were just seeing David Money.
Mm-hmm.
David Money offered everybody, hey, man.
Big David right there. There's David right there.
Do you need me to work security? Do you need me to help picking up chairs? Like, whatever. He offered the service. Talked to the guys. They're like, hey, you know what? For now, go sit in the crowd. Listened. Didn't complain, and he was just there, and the guys told us at the end of the show that they greatly appreciated our professionalism. Mm-hmm. That really rubbed the right way, and they
That's awesome, man. That's awesome, bro. So you've had a history already of, you know, you've been there, done that. What it sounds like, you've been there, done that for a while.
Well, thanks to my mentor, Danny Ramones, they taught us
the right way
to do
it. Riojas,
what rubs on them too.
Right.
Yeah. I'm nobody to be giving these guys advice,
mm-hmm.
but I try to give them the right advice to protect the business.
I'm very fortunate, I think. And me and JC got close again through Alvaro Riojas.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of got into a mentor relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started hanging out with the two of them, and JC and I clicked, and we trained and hit the gym and all that good stuff. So I feel fortunate in that all of the major moments of my wrestling career, I've shared with JC Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling for Ring of Honor, our first bit of extra work, you know, even being a security guard, being shit-canned over the top by Parker Boudreau on AEW Rampage. That's on cable TV. Right. So I got to get my ass kicked on cable TV with JC. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still pretty cool. So all the major moments that I've had in the business, and I'm sure there's more to come. JC's been there right by my side.
Yeah, and I got Daniel Valdez saying the GOATs. The hardest working guys right here. And then I got Luis Gomez saying the man of 1,002 holds.
Yeah, I said that.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna get to that, but I wanna get the young buck up here.
The man of a thousand backslides.
I wanna get the young gun here, the young buck that's right here. Also, I wanna have David talk to us a little bit about where you grew up and how he got into the wrestling. David, tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Yeah, man. Same thing as JC from Edinburgh. Kind of got into wrestling. I went to Oklahoma State. I did amateur wrestling there. Got my ass handed to me. And I looked
at everybody.
I've always been a fan of professional wrestling, so I looked up like schools and I found Texas Wrestling Academy in San Antonio. So I went and trained there for like 4 months. And then, like, my road trip gave out on me. So I moved back down to the valley. Going to college, and then COVID hit. And I was just scrolling through my phone, and one of the guys I trained with in San Antonio, Alex Arson, posted something like about Wrestling Revolution. And I didn't know the wrestling about at all.
Right.
I never heard of anything. I clicked it, and then it took me to the page, and then that's when I saw New Breed Wrestling Stream just opened up. So I immediately like hounded Danny like on Facebook, and I was like, hey, you know, can I stop by or whatever? I went. I think a week later, Blackheart was there. Oh shit, I really got to start hitting the weights and stuff. I think I got trained very well. JC was one of the guys that helped. Danny Chan, Danny Ramon, Ramon was too. They would stop by and show us different things and stuff.
Right.
And then I debuted in November of 2020, and that was, first of all, my craziest day for me ever, right? I didn't know wrestlers wear speedos underneath their trunks, right? I didn't know that was like a thing. So I got home, and I remember I was at Dick's Sporting Goods, and I was supposed to have a match against Tony Strong. And then something happened where Tony like pulled out or he got hurt. And then I think so Danny called me and he was like, hey, you're working twice tonight. First against Rob Love, and then that's gonna set up for a main event match as a tag team. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, no. I was like, dude, all right, like I'll do my best. And worked with Rob, worked with Stash, Doug Stash. That show, they liked me, and then joined the Kingdom, which was our stable. They took me underneath their wing, and then I think I debuted in November, and I think by like March or April, I was in Dyersburg, Tennessee at Pro Wrestling Mid-South, working there. So only like 4 or 5 months of training of like wrestling under my belt. So that was pretty fun. And then I stuck with it for a year. Had some personal stuff going on, kind of wanted to tackle, you know, real world, real life. So I left, and I came back totally on accident. Like I was not supposed to come back. I had texted Danny Chance. I just got out of the field for like 2 weeks. I was there for 2 weeks, and I was going down to the valley, and I was like, hey Danny, is it okay if I stop by New Breed and, you know, like roll around, do some bumps and stuff? He was like, no, like we actually have a show tomorrow. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And he was like, well, we need an extra body. And I was like, let me see if my boots still fit, you know? So went down there. My boots didn't fit. I borrowed all my gear from James that day because I didn't have any clothes here. And started from there. I think that was last summer. And then I think it was December, James pitched the idea to me of the group. And, you know, he was like, it's going to be me, you, and JC. And I was like, hell yeah. Immediately, I was like, you know what? Like, let's do it, dude. Because, like, these two guys, I don't know what it is about the three of us. We just click together. Like, in the ring or outside of the ring, you know, we're very much like the same. We like the same things. We enjoy the same style of wrestling. And so, I've learned so much from these two. You know, and luckily enough, I got to work with Dog Pound with James. Against AJ Farratt and Frank Stone.
We're going to
be working there on Sunday too.
There you go.
So, you know, and I'm just happy to be back, man. I did not expect this to be in such a short amount of time to be doing this stuff, but You know, it's thanks to these two guys, man. They really they gave me my confidence back. You know,
when I That's first, awesome.
Yeah, when I first came back, I was like, dude, I don't even know if I can hang anymore. But you know, these guys reassured me, and you know, they've been helping me out. So I couldn't be happier to be part of a group. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, to have your brother, I can say like the brothers in arms. Especially being part of a stable, it's pretty cool because you know that someone's always going to have your back, no matter what happens. I got some more shout outs here. I got Vicente Aguilar saying, let's go Blackheart. Vicente again saying too much bad feedback. Yeah, I just fixed the echo. I'm sorry, guys. I know. Luis Gomez saying shout out to Danny Chance. Jose Martin saying feedback sounds like, yeah, we're in a cave. Yeah, it's that's what it's called. The studio's called the cave, dude. You don't know this by now?
Tell me you're a first time listener.
Welcome to the cave. Double money is too much. Okay. Jacinto, one of our always tuning in every episode, especially when it's wrestlers. He goes, we love to boo.
You block him, dude.
He goes, we love to boo these guys, but they're I'm just saying, don't like Jacinto. He say, I'm not gonna pronounce, not even about to say what he's about to say right here. After that, and I got Maria Garan says, question: was it JC or David that liked the what wedgies from the show for the soldiers? Okay.
All right.
I want to know what kind of wrestling is this, dude.
Can you come to the studio real quick?
Who wants to talk about this?
That was JC.
let's put JC in the spotlight. Go ahead, JC. Explain yourself, dude.
Boy.
Explain yourself.
That was Eric Shadow.
Throwing the shade on Eric Shadows, man.
Oh my God. Hey, Eric.
Oh my God!
Oh, that
Eric Shadows,
and the young gentleman who was playing Tiger King at the time, Tiger King 2. Yeah, there was one episode back in, I think it was what, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago in December. I had Eric Shadows on the podcast, and we were talking.
About 2 years
ago, we're talking back and forth, everything, and Tiger King 2 had mentioned. It goes, man, tell that bum to shut up, blah, blah, blah. They're going at it.
Oh, was this the whole
the thing? They were going at it on our program, and then he goes, I swear, man, if you were here, I'll whoop your ass. And he's like, at the camera, he's going,
yeah.
Little did he know that Tiger King was right behind that door. I opened the door. You should have seen his face. Like, that was he goes, I don't know about you, Mark, but you got expensive stuff at the table. I don't want to body slam my mother. No. So that was one of the best moments we had on the programs, man, a while back. But yeah, man, so tell me a little bit about this stable, guys. I've heard back and forth about a lot of people that you guys are kind of the bad guys walking around causing trouble, you know, doing things you're not supposed to be doing. I don't know what the wedges is all about, but I'm going to get the bottom of that. When I bring you in here, you're going to address me about that, those wedgies. You can show me how you did on Chew. But,
but
again? Yeah, again? Oh, man. I just got the other one out last week.
I know. I'm just recovering.
So, you guys, tell me a little bit about this stable, man. What's going on? What is the backstory behind this? What's going on? Blackheart. I know Blackheart hasn't gotten the camera yet, so let's start with Blackheart. I'm gonna put him on the spot here. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about the three of us is we all share a common passion and dedication for the business. And all three of us, we do all the little things that people don't see. So, as a team, and I know I'm gonna piss people off when I say this, but it's the truth, and if the shoe fits, fuck it, then wear it.
Oh, shit, I like that.
Of course.
And you already know where I'm going with this. And the thing is that we see flyers from this city and that city and this city and that city throughout the valley.
Right.
And it's not just one promotion. It's like, it's a whole handful of them. Some of them I haven't even heard of, like, until I see the flyer or whatever, but I don't know who anyone is.
Right, right, right.
And the content, the videos and the clips of these matches and whatnot, and it's all just really fucking ridiculous, you know what I mean? I feel like there's a bunch of pretend wrestlers out here, you know, wrestling with t-shirts on, cheap-ass gear, no gear. Like, what are you doing? Like, have respect for the business.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not just anyone gets to be a fucking wrestler. That's something we take very serious. Mm-hmm. I'm shaking right now because it pisses me off.
You can hear him. You can smack you right there.
I take it very serious because I am not complacent showing up locally on Sundays or Fridays or whatever the day is and thinking that I made it in this business. Mm-hmm. I'm not content with going out there and looking half-assed. I don't care how many people are out there, 330, 300, 3,000, whatever it is. If I'm not my best, I'm underselling myself. I'm underselling my teammates. I'm underselling the fans because they deserve better than that.
Right, right.
So I take all of that very serious. So to look around and be associated as a wrestler from the valley with the joke and the mockery and the parody that is going on around me, nah, I'm not going to have that. So the three of us, we're here to change that. You know, we're going to make South Texas wrestling not great again, but greater than it's ever been.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
And that's why we're up there doing the things we're doing, because we try to preach this information to the locals.
Lead by example.
And
everyone wants to say, oh, well, they're just being assholes. They're just being this or they're just being that. It's because of the body. It's not because of the talent, whatever it is. But they're not waking up with me at 4 a.m. to hit the gym. They're not staying up till 3 at night to hit the gym with JC Valentine. They're not waking up at 2 a.m. I know that's the time David Money wakes up because he's got to go do army shit in the morning.
I know
he wakes up at 2 a.m. to hit the gym.
By the way, David, thank you for your services, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So for people who aren't putting in that work, who don't invest in themselves with gear, with making quality promos, with doing something to elevate them, mm-hmm. If you're complacent with what you're doing, just staying here and existing, pack your bags and go home, because that's as good as it's going to get for you.
Damn.
That's a bold statement, bro. Like, that's a very bold statement.
I know it's going to piss people off, and I don't mean for it to piss people off.
If the shoe fits.
But I want them to get motivated.
Right, right.
To elevate what's around us and really make this something, because we can. We have the fans for it. Mm-hmm. We know we have enough wrestlers for it. But if we don't elevate, we're going to stay the same and nothing's ever going to change.
I got you.
So yeah. We got to be that change.
Right, right.
And they can love us. They can hate us. I don't care if they don't like the way we wrestle or if they don't like the way we do things. The point is that we're successful. We are Parabellum. And to the mm-hmm. victor goes the spoils. And the spoils look really good right now for us.
Right, right, right.
But who's going to come and get it? That's what I want to know. That's what Parabellum is all about.
See, I got people over here. I got Eddie got Hussein. Mic drop on that one. I got Luis Gomez saying, "Say it with your chest, Black Card." That's what he's saying right there, buddy. I got Jacinto saying, "Black Card was a big brother figure to Nikki when she came in. He knows exactly how we feel about him." And then last but not least, we said the saying, I see plenty of that. Good job, Black Card. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are agreeing with you on what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, That's the cool thing about the arts, bro. When you have the passion for something and you see people that are just slacking off and you're like, you look at them, you're like, you know what? I'm doing it with all I can, with all my mind, everything I can do to make it number one, to look number one, to be number one, or to lead by example. So just like my buddy Ro from the Beefy Boy Bros says, you know, the tip of the spear. It's a very good phrase. To be the tip of the spear is leading by example. And what you're said right now, what you toss on the table right now in our podcast, mm-hmm. is leading by example. Yep. Especially you three men together in this one team doing that. You know, that's leading by example. That's making a statement. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And the thing is, like the three of us, we're no different than any other person. Anybody could be in our shoes, right? But it's just we want it so bad, you know. Like me, my son was born 3 weeks later. I was driving 6 hours down to go wrestle, 6 hours back up,
right?
To come home, and then two hours of sleep. Hey, I'm at PT doing my PT, and then I'm doing my work, you know. And it, to me, it's a slap in the face when guys are like, I want this, but they're out there at the bar till 2 a.m., you know, and they're not. And it's something simple, man. It's just like film study. Like, just studying film goes a long way, you know. And just, it's very, you know, and I know a lot of guys in the Valley, they have the potential to be great, to be better, you know. But I think when you keep yourself at a comfortable level, and
right.
I think they're just fine with where they're at now. You know, like James said, you know, for them, that's as good as it's going to get. But the three of us, you know, we might not ever make it to the big leagues, right? That's a possibility. But I'm satisfied with knowing I gave this my all. The three of us gave this our all. We did everything we could, and it just didn't happen, you know, if that is the case, right?
Right.
So it's one of those things, man. Like I said, for me, it's a huge slap in the face when guys are just like, I want this, but they're getting drunk and then they don't make call times, you know. And it's funny, man, because like I said, I would leave here, very, like I would work out in the morning, I would leave here by 8, and I was showing up earlier than half of the guys that live 15 minutes away, you know. And it's kind of like, dude, how am I doing this, but you guys aren't, you know. And I'm not fortunate enough, I don't have a wrestling school near me, I don't have a place to train, you know. And guys down there, they don't take advantage of what they have, you know. Me and James, we were going two a days from what, 9 a.m. to 1. We'd break for lunch, come back at 6, we'd leave at 11. Like, me and James, our whole life was wrestling. That's what we wanted to do, you know. And JC too, going through everything JC went through, you know, and he never quit, right? And guys now, you know, you raise your voice a little bit, and it's like, oh, he's being mean to me. He's telling me this. He's doing this. And it's like, man, you know, maybe it's because the three of us grew up in a different time, you know. Like, I grew up playing sports, and I was, you know, coaches would grab you, man, and fucking, what's not getting through your fucking head, you know? Like, right. That's how I fucking grew up in sports. And, you know, and the three of us have tried to share our knowledge. And, you know, to credit, there are guys that did take it. You know, Frank the Tank, he's one guy that's very great, receptive to it. Martin, I think we all three of us love Martin.
Like, Martin, yeah. Martin is a character, homie.
Yeah.
So is, you know,
and we,
Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we, you know, I mean, yeah, there's guys that are receptive to us and they'll listen. You know, but there's some that just, you know, and I get it. Three of us, you know, we have asshole tendencies. I know JC's been with me in the back where I'm just kind of talking and, you know, kind of fucking around, and people might take it the wrong way. But, you know, and the three, I feel like the three of us are very approachable.
No.
So, like, it is what it is, man. Like I said.
Wow.
Like I said, man, three of us, you know, anybody could be in our shoes. They just got to want it.
Yeah. Now I got Mari Aguilar saying slacking off, not training, paying your dues. All great. Big shout out. He goes, Armando Reyes says, hey guys, big hello to you all. El cacahuate. Oh my God. They go, we have to talk later, Mando, about you. And I got Luis Gomez saying, complicity is a career killer in any line of business. Yeah. And then Vicente's going, go Martin! Don't please don't.
Don't encourage it.
Don't encourage this delusional kid. Walking around with that damn championship. Doesn't mean nothing. Sorry.
What do you mean walking around with a championship?
Oh, you haven't seen that?
No, man. I haven't been around those parts.
Oh, Martin! Yeah. We'll talk after the show. Buddy. Man,
things have changed. Shut the video.
We'll make sure to make an arrangement. We have both of you here in the studio talking about that. Maybe you can slap all three of you can be here, slap some sense in the poor kid. But yeah, man, I know what you mean. You know, seeing that face to face, like I said, in any art form, whether you be a musician, a wrestler, yeah, podcaster, actor, director, an artist, you know, you see people slack off and something you are dedicating yourself to do something better with it, and then people are just like, oh, well, yeah, I'm doing it. You know, it's secondhand to them. Yeah, I guess. You know, they don't put in the work for it. That's pretty much what we're trying to say here. Yeah, because if he said, he goes, he has a belt. Oh, buddy, if I could tell you the stories right now. Oh, my God. We'll get into that the second half. We got some bills to pay real quick. So, guys, hang in there for a minute. We're going to step out. Oh, I put left Vicente Aguilar on there. We'll step out for a minute. Got some bills to pay. And we'll be right back in about 2 minutes. Here we go. Big shout out to all our sponsors, Triple J Plumbing. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. If you're looking for licensed plumbers, get these guys in your corner. They're great. Great plumbers, residential, also hospital grade work. So this is the guys you want in your corner. Second, also a notice construction, looking for a good contractor, give this guy a call, talk to Tony. All their information are in our Facebook page, and reach out to them. They're great contractors, renovation, residential, commercial, remodeling, they do it, name it, they get it done. Also another big shout out to Javier Cavazos, by the way. I know the camp is already up. It's unfortunately over, but there are still availability to go. If you want to ride a horse or learn how to ride a horse, give Javier Casas a call, and he'll gladly help you out, man. It's a great stables out in Mitchell, Texas. And last but not least, Pandora's Box Tattoo with Freddie Honda. Look at that, Freddie. I still got it right here. Look at that. It's healing perfectly. Next one, this one, I'm putting that Titan right here in next month. Hopefully before anime con comes in, because I really want to get that done. But big shout out to Freddie.
You won't return my phone calls, dude.
Yeah, well, he doesn't like you, dude. What can I do?
What can I do?
You know,
I want a hummingbird.
It is a hummingbird on the crack of his ass. But anyways, yeah, guys, back to the podcast. I am here with these great entertainers. Let me get you back. I'm sorry, buddy. Hold on. Let me get you back. Shrink this down. Where are you? There you go. And I got, buddy. Are you still there? Can you see her?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I go. And back to Vicente here saying, but I can, but like JC, what's that? Sunbathing, LOL. Okay. I don't know what that's all about.
Let's move on.
And Mary, I got saying, we have nothing but love for you guys. Hopefully, you all share knowledge with AJ Star. Also, Jacinto again saying, Fuego is coming for all the gold. I've been seeing fireworks happening over there, and I know she's the number one contender now. So this is very interesting. And, thank you for the AI music, man. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Going back to, oh, no, we got the JC and we got David already. I know we got to go to James. I'm sorry. We have to go to James. We got to give James love. I'm sorry. James, I'm from the last time we had, we've talked to you. You've held a couple of belts already.
Yeah.
You've not only moved from different what's the word I'm looking at? Promotions. Mm-hmm. You've gone from New Breed. You've done the Combat Cult. And now you're doing other areas that you were talking about earlier before the podcast started.
Yeah.
Now that you've pretty much stomping grounds in different promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the differences of all the other promotions, or how is that going for you? I mean, in total honesty, how is that going for you about going to different promotions now?
You talking about different promotions locally?
Locally, upstate, everywhere.
Locally, I think every promotion has a different vibe, a different theme to it. And I think that theme or the vibe creates or brings out a different layer of the onion that is James Blackheart. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know my time wrestling in New Breed, primarily I was good guy James Blackheart. You know what I mean?
Right.
Up until the end.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, sometimes you gotta just do what you gotta do, man. But so my good guy personality really showed over there. Now, when I'm at Combat Colt, and that's a little bit grittier,
right?
You know, a little bit darker,
yeah.
And I that's where I get to let loose a little bit,
right?
You know,
right.
You know, a little more edgier, have some, you know, down and dirty, whatever it takes to win type of deal,
right?
And that's the difference for me locally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go upstate, everything changes, because now not only is my character gonna be matching the theme of that show,
right,
or I gotta make it blend in the best that I can with that show and that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also probably the smaller of the two in the ring, or
right,
in the tag team, because I might be big down here,
oh,
but
no, yeah,
up north, I'm an average height guy with a decent build.
What do you feed these people?
So understanding wrestling, you know, is a big part of it. And what's different for me over there, aside from the physical aspect, is just, I mean, damn it, it's always a real uphill battle to mm-hmm, find a way to win. And that's a bigger challenge for me, because I'm not used to that down here.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I've got have more resources here to come up with that W,
mm-hmm,
and up there it's kind of like, oh shit, man, I'm scratching, I'm gnawing, I'm, you know, biting my teeth. I'm just trying to make it out alive.
Right, right, right.
It's
right,
such a different ball game. Yeah.
So that's the way, and that's the way it's been from going from venue to venue, from promotion to promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not sure if I recall somebody telling me that you actually got to step in a WWE ring?
AEW
ring.
So yeah, so my first experience in the AEW ring, I was a security guard for the show, you
right,
know, as a local talent. Well, this was actually in Laredo,
mm-hmm,
but they had picked me up to work as a security guard for the AEW show.
Mm-hmm.
And Parker Boudreaux, I don't know if you know him, they compared him as like the new Brock Lesnar for a while, with
okay,
blonde hair, tattoos, all that.
Right, right, right.
Well, he had Dustin Rhodes, and he had a chain around his fist, and he's just wailing on him. So JC and I were working security, so we ran out to try to stop him from cutting up mm-hmm, Dustin too bad,
uh-huh,
and we got tossed over. He got his head almost taken off. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He my was, head.
Yeah.
Oh,
the guy in the
so,
tree.
But yeah, the our later experiences was for Ring of Honor.
Okay.
And if you go to our Instagram, Facebook pages, whatever, you'll see the photos there. And I believe the matches are out there somewhere. They're on the Ring of Honor app, I know for sure. But we've got to tag team twice. The early days of Parabellum.
Really?
JC and I, yeah, for Ring of Honor, we've tag teamed together twice. And both times we wrestled the Righteous, Vincent and...
Dutch?
Yes, Dutch. And man, those are some tough guys up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like I said before, I mean, I've known James when we first started our podcast running in. He was one of the new ones that walked into the podcast when we first started out. You remember that?
I have yeah, that photo yeah, still. Yeah. I was looking at that photo the other day.
Yeah,
it's
man.
The five of us.
Yes.
The OG new breed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was telling Joe, I go, it's weird how we've had quite a few wrestlers coming, you know, into the podcast. We've had you. We've had Danny. We've had Alvaro coming once in a while. You know, and you see, should I might even doubtfully say, the evolution of it. And pun intended, but the evolution of it, how they started and how they're forming to what they are now, you know, and it's crazy. I mean, I'm just like, for example, when I don't know how you guys feel, but Mooncat, when we first interviewed him, he was real laid back. I go, okay, this kid is, you know, he's this kid is kid.
He's a kid.
Right, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
What, I mean, what's so entertaining about it? And then we're watching him wrestle, and I'm like, okay, this kid's nuts. I go, yeah, this kid's nuts. Jumping off of freaking trees, taking
just
these
foot.
I go, I'm like, Jesus. Oh my God! I go, wait, where's the dispensary?
Follow Moon Cat.
What do you buy and sell me some of that stuff? But you know, and you've seen all these wrestlers that started with New Breed and they branched out, even when they were in Wrestling Revolution, how they branched out also. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. I sit back and I'm like, wow, man, the wrestling scene, the RGV is, it was around for so many years, but you can see it finally flourishing more. People are getting more involved. People are showing up to shows.
Yeah.
People have their favorite wrestler. People want to go to this venue because this person is wrestling.
I think a big part of that, I think everyone involved is a big part of it, first of all. But I feel like there's been a few leading the pack more.
Right.
Like backbones of the RGV, especially lately. And I would like to consider myself as one, but I'm going to say there's still one guy locally that I feel like not only do I need to wrestle him, but I need to beat him. And I think it'll be the biggest match that happens locally, or that has happened in the recent past, or the next big match that could happen between the top two local guys, in my opinion, in the near future. And he's been a big part of my career, actually. He's the first guy that I ever stepped into the ring with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Chris Austin.
Okay.
And I know that kind of goes off path, but while you said how it's expanding, I think his influence and the knowledge that he's helped with some of the younger guys and myself, I think he's a bigger part of it than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the local talent, he is number one on my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know where we're going to wrestle, don't know when. It's not booked anywhere. But that's the match that when it does happen,
mm-hmm.
man, whoever, if that place has got a roof, it's going to come off.
Right, I hear you, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit. I think that's a match that, done right, at the right place, at the right time, is going to elevate everything. You know, because he's been up there too. He goes out is it West Texas area?
Mm-hmm.
South Plains Wrestling. I know he's got gold over there. Everyone who brings down anyone important here, he gets the match. You know what I mean? He gets the big names. And I think he does a good job of representing the Valley mm-hmm. wrestling scene. I think he just has a big part to play in the expansion. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out there.
That's cool, man. Nice. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah. I got some more comments here. This is Mari Aguilar saying, love the entrance at the last show at CNET with Combat Cult for Blackheart. They got that one. I got Jose Martinez saying, yo, thanks to James, I went from 560 to 520 wow. since I restarted doing my weight training. Weight loss, just saying, man. And then I got Luis Gomez saying, thank you for your services as well. Real American heroes. Eddie Garza saying, my Orton and Cena. And he's saying, the Wish. That's what you're talking about, your match, the Wish.
Oh, yeah.
I got one here that Vicente put up here, and it's a big question for you guys.
Okay.
I really don't want to toss it to the table because when you ask questions like this, Vicente, you're kind of throwing a monkey wrench in the machine.
I can't wait.
And right,
I love it.
And
I
this
love
machine
it already.
Is running very fine right now. Why would you want to throw a wrench in there?
No, fuck it. Let's do it.
I feel like this could go a lot of different directions.
A lot of different directions. It's going straight down.
It's like who's on first, what's on second. I got Vicente asking the big question here, and I'm gonna give that one a start because that's a very big question, and also the weight loss. That's awesome. Also,
yeah, congrats, Jose. That's awesome.
Vicente Aguilar's question is the big question: who is the leader?
Nah. Come on, pal.
David's squirming over there. I'm the young Randy Orton of this faction here, but whatever.
I'm not going to say that I tell these guys what to do, or that, you know, JC carries my bags in, or I have David go get me coffee or nothing like that.
By the way, when we go to the next match,
because I learn alongside of David. You know what I mean? I'm still learning too. Am I responsible for bringing the three of us together? Yes, it was my idea.
Right.
But I couldn't do it without them, obviously. And I learn in the ring from JC every time I watch him wrestle. I get ideas for character, for promos, for just doing little things. Mm-hmm. He helps me out tremendously. I spent more hours with this wrestler driving up and down the highways of Texas than any other person in this business.
Right.
And I'm talking countless hours, 24-hour trips, right, you know, with broken bones and cuts, and we haven't eaten in how long or whatever it is. You know, we've gone through it together, mm-hmm, and it's always a learning experience. So I'm not going to say I'm his leader.
Right.
Because he is very much a big brother to me right now in this, mm-hmm, business. I might be leading the group, and that's, you know, something that's on my shoulders.
Right.
But he definitely helps me, and so does David.
Right.
You know what I mean? And David actually began wrestling before me. I'm really the baby of the group, but because of, you know, he has to take his breaks for whatever reasons, and David took his breaks for whatever reasons.
Right, right.
And all the in-betweens, I was able to stay consistent, to build myself up to a certain point.
Right.
To a... at a level that I can lead these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to learn from them on the go, but I can still point us in the right direction.
I got you.
So that's where we're at as a team, and I think that's why we work so well together as, mm-hmm, a team, because I'm not concerned about, well, JC wants to take control, David wants to take control. They don't see me as, you know, trying to boss them around,
right,
or things,
right,
like that. We're,
right,
working together.
Right, right.
But when shit hits the fan, it falls on me. And when business has got to get done, it falls on me.
Right.
And I'm more than 100% ready for all of it.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. And we sit there and get out saying, I love you guys.
I love you too,
brother. I got a question here for David here. Let me get David in here so you can get answer these questions here. Let me put him on the big screen here. Let me switch him over. David, there's a question, yeah, from our buddies next door, the BV Boy Bros. They're asking, what type of style of wrestling do you guys prefer wrestling? Is it lucha, strong style, or American style?
Oof. Well, I've done each of those, but my favorite is like just ground and pound, punching, striking kind of style. I don't know what you would classify that as, but I'm a huge 80s, 90s wrestling fan. So American, hell yeah, hey brother, American wrestling. You take that lucha shit across the damn border and you go do that shit over there.
Hell
bring,
yeah,
that in my, bring that in my place.
So, Blackheart,
what's up?
Style.
Successful.
that's a great style.
I mean, I guess kind of the same. I like to think working smarter is better than working harder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do a whole lot, but everything I do is going to be damn good.
I got you.
And I guess it's probably an American style brawling.
Bar fighting.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't do a lot of holds. That's his business, the technical work. But I guess, yeah, more ground and pound, more of a brawler.
The strong style then.
Yeah.
Strong style.
Yeah,
it's making a lot of sense right now. So, JC, would you consider yourself the lucha style?
I do lucha, también, a little bit of lucha, but my strongest would be technical wrestling.
Technical wrestling.
Technical wrestling. But
that's why they call you the man of 1,002 holds.
I think that's why.
Two over Di Malenko.
I don't think that's the reason.
My favorite wrestler.
Yeah. So you're more of a technical.
I love technical wrestling, lucha libre también, because I tell the guys, I tell Blackheart and David that it's very important to know the styles. strong style is mass.
Yeah.
You know, hybrid.
And chingazos, yeah.
But the lucha libre, it's like Pete Payne, for example. I always talk about Pete, his the bass. It's not about, no más vas a hacer esto. You got to learn how to give a good bass.
Right,
you know?
Right.
If you're going to fly, dude, they're relying on you to catch them. I hate, and I'll say it, receiving suicide dives, cross.
Oh, God.
It's like, I tell you, because once there was an accident where no sé qué pasó. Se fue en suicide dive, and it was just real messy. The last person I think to give me one was este Mooncat. I worked Mooncat at IN New Breed, and as soon as his shine, yeah, he was already coming in hot. He did the suicide dive. Y luego me aventó un crossbody y yo ando ahí persiguiendo. Please, pero me tuvo la confianza, the confidence to catch him.
Right.
It's my job. Pero lucha is not my favorite por los bases.
Right.
I would say technical wrestling.
Technical wrestling. Technical. There you go. And they go. And
you know what? The three of us, don't need to jump on trees, climb up, do some dumb death shit to get a pop. Right? We just got to show up and do the work. That's it, man. I mean, it's just that.
I hear you, man. I totally understand what you're saying, man. But I was there for that match, and I was like, oh. Sweet Jesus. Oh my God. Why? I don't know, but hey.
I was scared
out of my mind, dude.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
Pete, I got the interview with Pete and Nightmare when they were on the podcast, when they beautifully beat the crap out of Chew, which is one of the best episodes ever. But
what did that happen?
Oh, you don't remember?
Good. I'll show you the replay later. I don't remember a goddamn thing.
Don't worry, your insurance took care of it. But the first thing he told me when they were down there with the other wrestlers down there, they're going at it, and CYA, they're going at it, and then they look up to this tree and they see Frank up there, like, what the hell are you doing? And not only that, dude, what freaking scared the living crap out of me is that there's an audience right below him. So I'm like, this guy better make the jump, because if he slips and he comes straight, he's going to go right on those old folks right in the front row. Was there money? But yeah, dude, I was like, you're nuts. I go, bro, you can't be doing stuff like that. And he goes, and the thing is that Pete said he was coming out. He's like, fuck, I'm getting out of here. He got out of the way. But he
got anxiety.
He pulled a Samoan Joe. Yeah, he pulled a Samoan Joe. He pulled a Samoan Joe. Yeah, he's like, fuck that, I'm out. And his poor Nightmare got a leg. I think he got a foreign. And then CYA got the rest of the whole body on himself. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
That's
crazy,
man. CYA.
Yeah.
Love the guy. Great guy.
Great guy. Real guy. Great guy in the podcast also. He says, oh, and here comes another one. Like I said, I hate asking these questions because I really don't like go asking these because I get the... Yeah, I'll just ask it.
Goes, I love these questions. Do it. Do it.
Maria Aguilar says, I don't know, but...
Oh, okay.
I'm also hearing that the Killjoys are becoming the hottest group right now.
Oh, look at that. Pod's over, dude.
Well, you know, pod's over. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. No.
The Killjoys.
Here we go. Almond Joys?
All right. I think the Wyatt Six want their gimmick back.
Oh. Wow.
Ow.
Wow.
Oh.
Look at David over there. David, I know you want to say something, David. Say it. Say it, David.
I don't have anything against the Killjoys.
They're great folks. They're great.
Tag team, a trio, Parabellum, no one holds a candle to us. I'm just going to say that.
There you go.
I will say, on that note, if we're talking about the record books for TWL, the leader of Parabellum, James Blackheart, was successful in defeating from the Killjoys. Jake.
Okay, Jake. I was going to say, if you don't remember the name.
I was wanting to say Jack.
That's what you drank afterwards.
Yeah. I was successful in taking his TWL Hidden Gem Championship
away. Oh, shoot. Okay.
So, you know, if you do the Steiner math, obviously that puts Parabellum on top.
There you go.
So, you know, there you that. Go.
Then I got Vicente also saying natural born leaders. Luis saying a huevo. I don't know why. I got Jose Martinez we'll saying, yo, JC is also a very good showman.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
And I got Luis cracking up over here in the back. I got Jose Martinez saying very giving and what's that? Facial expressions, posture to deliver to the crowd and the way he's feeling at the moment. Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah.
That's also very important. And I got his scene though once again. Here's it. And he goes, that black car and JC beat up Chew today.
Hey, you know what though? On a side note, and I don't mean to take us off track of where we're at, but we haven't got a chance to touch up on it. And I just want to touch up because he means so much to me. But he's been very influential in my career, as well as JC's, and is also guys like Alvaro Riojas, and now he's working close with David Money as well, too, mm-hmm. as we're all working together up north. But Lieutenant Dan from Laredo, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He was very prominent in the old days of Wrestling Revolution at Cine El Rey when they were running weekly.
Mm-hmm.
The best manager in this local wrestling history, mm-hmm. bar none. He's also been like a mentor to me and a friend and a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he is directly responsible for a lot of the success I've had. They've come from him. He's put my name on his back and vouched for me. And I haven't let him down yet. And we're going to keep on keeping on. But a lot of it is thanks to him. Right. And I wanted to get that out there before I forget. Right. Lieutenant Dan, he's the voice of NWA Texas.
There you go.
Lieutenant Dan. That's the man.
Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan got new legs. yeah, man, big shout out to him. And here goes Luis again saying, a huevo to the man of 1,002. Two. Holds.
What's Luis Gomez drinking, though? What's he drinking?
I don't know what he's drinking, man, but I want some of that. Let me get you guys' reaction on this. This week alone has been one of the most craziest weeks to... we've lost three in a week. One was on a Sunday, next one was on a Tuesday, and then
some legends died.
Legends died. First, we had Malcolm
Jamal Warner.
Warner, Mr. Theo from the coffee show.
Theo Huxley.
Passed away in Puerto Rico, if I'm not mistaken. He was pulled by the undertow.
Unfortunately, he was on vacation with his family.
Yeah, he, fortunately, he lost his life.
Yeah.
And, next on the list, 2 days later, Tuesday, the legend, the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne, dies at the age of 76.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a hard pill to swallow, by the way.
We were waiting for it, but at the same time, like, we weren't...
It was a storybook ending.
When the hell was it going to happen?
Storybook ending. I mean, you finish this freaking amazing concert
with
the high-caliber bands around the world that come and just... tear it up for one day.
Yep.
And then him finishing off the concert with Paranoid at the very end. Not Mama. Everybody says, oh, he finished with Mama. No, he finished off with Paranoid. But him singing Mama, I'm Coming Home, thanking the fans for being there for so many. He was saying his final goodbyes.
He was saying
his final goodbyes. And, you know, of course, there's rumors roaming around him. What happened and how he passed and blah, blah. You know what? I can care less. You know,
he was with his family at the end. That's what they said.
His family at the end, and that's it.
That's all it matters.
But that one did. Yes, Jose Martinez. That one did hit hard.
Yeah.
And then to put the cherry on the top of the ice cream there, bro. The legendary, the immortal Hulk Hogan passes away at the age of 71. Big fan of the guy growing up. Slowly but surely, he kind of tarnished at the end. His career started tanking slowly. He was what he was. Everybody remembers the memories. The great, eat your vitamins, say your prayers. Yeah, brother. But it's It's weird, man. You think these guys are going to live forever? And I had one gentleman tell me today at work, you know, we're all going to die one day, you know. But the thing is, you grow up watching these guys, and at a young age, you think, man, these guys are amazing, you know. You hold them on a pedestal.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, dude. Hulk Hogan will live forever. He's going to live forever, Hulk Hogan, you know. But Terry Hulk Hogan, you know, that guy, he lived his life. What are you going to say? You know, he was just doing his thing, and, you know, if fans came along for the ride, bet, you know, great, but, you know, he was going to do his thing, and
right. That's
what he did. And
yeah.
I mean, what you call, you know, maybe he tarnished it, well, what are you going to do, dude? He was just living his life. Dude.
Which was the hardest for you guys to find out who passed away? I mean, between Mr. Theo Huxtable himself, Jamal, Ozzy.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. Ozzy or Hulk Hogan. I would say consider Hulk Hogan, considering the career type you guys are doing right now.
Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan. For me, it was Hogan. But I am a huge Aussie fan, and that one hit me, but that one was less unexpected than Hulk Hogan.
Right.
I was not expecting the news about the Hulkster. Right. That was something like that was like a shock. As far as when I heard the news about Ozzy, I was like, oh man, because I knew he was, you know, not doing well. Yeah. And so,
I think for a lot of people, Hulk Hogan dying is just because, like, he was still, like, one of the buffest dudes out there, you know, one of the buffest celebrities. Like, he could just easily tear through us still.
Right.
You know, at 71 years old. And, you know, Ozzy, well, fuck, man, he was just...
It was coming.
You know, he looked like a stiff breeze could take him out, but he was still up there. Yeah. You know,
David,
doing his thing.
Hardest for you, for them three.
Hulkster, man, that one... Yeah, dude, I was at work, and I was like, hold on, boys, give me a minute. Give me a fucking minute.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, obviously, I'm 26. I didn't grow up watching Hulk Hogan, but when I did start getting interested...
Thank you so much for making me feel like an old ass now. Yeah,
hey, man. I know you don't have to fight some television, but I didn't. I had
I'm not part of that generation, bro. All right, I didn't take my life to the same beer like you did.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, despite whatever he said, you know, later on, I mean, he's a person, right? We're all going through this life once.
It's all right.
Our first time. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but, you know, he's, yeah, man, it's crazy. My dad would show me old Hogan matches and stuff, and I'd watch him. I always thought, like, even not really understanding who Hulk Hogan was, I was like, hey, this guy is larger than life, you know? And then,
But,
so yeah, man, just to show, man, just, you know, Do what you can, chase your dreams, and, you know, because, yeah, you're right, we're all going to die one day, and I, you know, I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan had no regrets. Maybe a couple words, all right? Maybe a couple words, but no regrets, man. But you know what? Heaven needed a main event today, and the Hulkster's up there right now wrestling.
And we were talking about Kitty James Franco right now. He goes, I was talking about the tree jump. He's saying, don't do cocaine. And I got
cocaine's a hell of a drug. Man.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Jose Martinez saying, bro, Ozzy's pass hit hard. Eddie Garza saying, Ozzy got the ultimate warrior send off. That is so true. You're right.
Yeah.
There you go. Also, I got one more take. Kitty Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. Kitty Franco says, never asked me to do coke. And I got Jose Martinez saying, Kitty Franco is the diet or zero sugar. I don't know what that means, but okay. And I got eyes looking to the right. And he goes, if you're a child in the 80s, part of our childhood died this week. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did. It did. That childhood, it's crazy. It's crazy. When I heard that today, I was in the middle of work, and I forgot who texted me. Someone texted me first real quick. They told me, hey, guess what? Hulk Hogan. No way. I had to research it real quick. I was on the computer checking it. I go, sure enough, it popped up. And I was just like, holy crap. And we're all debating that. We had a Deadpool going for number three. I was way off. Way off. Shout out to Bruce Willis.
He's still kicking, you know. Yeah. He's fine.
I know. Yeah. I know. Die hard. Yeah.
Faster.
And faster. Where's that drum roll? Where's that rim shot? Yeah, it's not working. Anyways, yeah, man, those were the deaths this week. Like every week of July, there was a couple of more people that passed away, but these were people of, I guess you say our generation, or the, you growing up watching them wrestle,
these were icons,
watching them
dude.
Singing, watching them on the traditional Cosby show.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be.
I'm upsetting a lot of you guys for not picking Theo.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say. I'm going to start thinking about you guys.
Calm down, Bill Cosby. Go to the refrigerator. Get a pudding pot. Shut up.
Count to 10, man.
General pudding.
Hey, go get a pudding pop.
Anyways, guys, David's all like, what are they talking about?
David's, I don't know, man. I'm too young for this conversation. I don't know what y'all's going.
I plead the fifth. But anyways, guys, we're an hour and 11 minutes into the show. One of the great shows that we had today, especially when I have the wrestlers on here. It's fun, man, because we get to sit back, shoot the shit, talk about what's going on in your neck of the woods, and talk about some of the matches and stuff that's going on, and, you know, putting your foot down, you let it all on the table, let people how they feel about what you do for your career and how much passion you have for it.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the man of 1,002 holes in the broadcast. Two! That's what you got to do now. Say, thank you, go! New gimmick. David, do you approve of that?
What?
Approve.
What? You know what? You know what, pal? Why don't you Uber eat us some food real quick, huh?
You know what's funny? I said that in a promo. I said JC is the man with 1,002 holds on complete accident because I was blanking out. And I looked at JC and I was like, what can I say? And I thought of Chris Jericho, 1,001 holds. And I was like, shit, you know what? JC has 1,002. Fuck it. Like, I'm a...
And he goes, and then Osito's saying, please, chop chew. For the love of God. James is not going to do it, dude. But the man of 1,001, two holes might do it. Oh my God. You're going to be getting down your matches now. They're watching. You're going to walk. They're going to be walking the stage, and they mention, JC, man. They go, 1,001, two. That's what you're going to hear.
Two.
Just know that's our gift to you, buddy.
You're welcome.
It's just like Frank the Tank, man. When he came to hear my brother and I were interviewing him, and he was talking about, yeah, I hate Toxico. They go, it's all about STD. And my brother went, oh, STDs. That same week, they were chatting it. And even freaking, oh my God.
Oh, is that how that started?
Yes, yeah. That's how it started.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Even what's the name? Pete showed up with a sign where it says STDs.
Back in my day, we tried to avoid those.
Nope. Oh, dude, my God.
That STD thing was like over the top. I remember going to the back and they had like one of the boys dressed up as a doctor, and like I don't know who the fuck this guy is, and then he opens the thing, he's like, yep, Frank has STDs, and I was like, what's going on here? I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm telling you, dude, the gimmicks, this guy, I love watching those gimmicks, man. They're so hilarious. It just catches my eye. I got Mary Aguilar saying one more thing. Can't wait to see the match between the Three Stooges and Ed, and Eddie. Oh my God.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about Paradigm. You're talking about Paradigm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a banger.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Bog on.
But what, guys, I'm going to wrap up right now, man. I want to say thank you to JC, David, and James for coming on the podcast, having fun with us, man. It's never a dull moment with having the local wrestlers in the podcast, man.
Any social medias that
Medias. Toss your social medias, James. Start with you.
Yeah, so I'm really, all I do is Instagram, James.BLKHRT_. So we're going to shorten up Blackheart. That's James.BLKHRT_. And that's like my only real social media that I use.
There you go. Mm-hmm. OnlyFans? No, I'm joking. No. JC.
JC, Instagram, Jesse_Starship.
Oh, Enterprise? No, I'm just joking. Starship, all right.
Doesn't that sound like a good wrestling name, Jesse Starship?
That does sound like a badass name, but you're kind of this close to being Jefferson Starship, so you don't want to go that way. And if you don't know, put White Rabbit in the background when he's coming out, that'd be great. White Rabbit! No, I'm just joking. David, talk to us. Social medias.
Just Instagram, too. It's ITS David Money. Just find me there.
Jason's been having the giggles with you all night, dude. For some reason, I don't know what's going on over here, dude. He's just cracking up. He's having too much fun. He's having too much fun with you, bro. Look at him. He's looking at you on the computer. He's just cracking up, bro.
He's been doing that since the last time we hit the road.
Oh no!
We were 3 hours into the trip and it's quiet as shit in the car. And then JC starts laughing. He's like,
ah! That's what you call a brotherhood, man. These are the people you want on the road with you, bro. It makes life more interesting. I tell you right now, bro.
But he's gonna kill us.
He's gonna kill you when he sees you.
But once again, guys, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, David. Thank you so much for your services. I know it took a lot for you to jump on with us here and where you're at right now. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much. God bless you, JC. James, thank you for coming to the podcast today, man. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So happy. Whenever you guys want to come in and talk, shoot the shit again, let us know. Any more, that door's always open to come in. Or if you want to come in and do a top 10 with our brothers next door, and you can come in over here and do a top 10 best songs in for you three guys.
Oh, shit.
You know, you could do something like that. That'll be something interesting for you guys.
Soundtracks to play while you're wrestling.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I work hard for the money. Sorry. Anyways, guys, no, thank you so much for coming out, man. I appreciate you guys, and God bless you guys, and continue to do what you're doing, bringing the entertainment here to the RGV, and keep pushing, kicking those doors open for more people to tip of the spear.
Yes, sir.
Tip of the spear. Remember that. Yes, tip of the spear, and keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to delete you out there. I'm sorry. Sorry, David. I apologize.
All right. See you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching us today. Chew, what a great show today, man, having these guys in the podcast.
Another great show, dude. Another great Valley theme for the world to keep an eye out for, dude. It just keeps... The Valley keeps producing, and the world keeps accepting. So
yeah,
I'm glad that we had these guys on, and I hope that they actually... return our phone calls and come back. You know, that'd be great.
I mean, it takes a lot of gratitude to you guys to tune and watch in, because knowing that Chew's over there on the camera, it's kind of hard. It's a lot of alcohol going into your system to even watch the show. Thank you so much for hanging in there.
Not enough alcohol just yet.
But once again, thank you so much for everybody showing up. Thank you for all the love, the likes, the comments. I appreciate every single one of y'all. Audio for this podcast will be out next week on Monday. I want to apologize, first of all, to the Hero Prevails. I know I was supposed to release the episode on Monday, but it got released on Tuesday. So it's out there on audio. Guys, you want to check that with Troy and them. They'll be opening up, don't forget, for 89 Farm coming up soon. So you want to check that out. That is the podcast for the night, guys. Tune in next week, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. We have Votech coming in, the welders that won some sort of championship here in the state of Texas.
It's about damn time.
It's about that time. We finally, with somebody's getting noticed.
Finally, somebody's doing something about it.
And they still haven't fixed my gate. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. Chew, sign us out.
I've been Chew.
And we will see you next week, 7:30.
No.
I got one more.
No.
And it has to be quick.
No.
You know what? I'm going to leave it as a cliffhanger. I'm going to leave it as a cliffhanger for the next time they come in. Because I think, and here's an actual comment from an actual wrestler, Sean Ayala.
Okay.
Says, hell yeah. I think the Los Rebel Bandidos need to stop by. And he says, what you think, Kike Caballero? So, ladies and gentlemen, I will have Kike Caballero next month on this podcast, so you might just get your answer. Hang in there, guys. We'll see you next week, 7:30 p.m. Leaving you with our commercials and our sponsors. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Later, Gators.
Bye, everybody. Woo!
Down in RGV, we got it, so you gotta know. It's called the Chewing New Podcast Dynamo on the go. the vibe, we don't archive. Talking talent businesses, it's the rhythm of our hive. Every night, new stories ignite, shining so bright. Artists painting dreams, businesses scheme under the spotlight. Mics are hot, the chat is alive, Facebook's blinking live. Tapping toes to the local pros where the passions thrive. Chew on top, expression raw, each word a draw. From coffee shops to rooftop box, we come in no flaw. Town sprouts, we scream and shout, the valley's about. Breaking norms in all its forms, we bring clout. Get so strong and drum is drumming, feeling that heat. Whoa, it's robbing, pain is timing, ain't this beat so neat? Feel the long moments of flip, the thought we never stop. Tell stay we can again and take your life to top. So grab your phone, make yourself known, dive into the wave. The valley's heartbeat, broadcasting the brain and the suave. The chewing new podcast from a seat feet. It's live, it's now, come take your power and praise life's treat.